growing up, again, I grew up in a very restrictive, religious, heavy environment, and it was guilt-based, and it was about, it was a heavy focus on sin, which, being a child, that just, it makes you anxious, and it makes you feel very guilty, and that's exactly what I felt. My perception of God for a very long time was, you know, that he was looking for any little thing that I would, you know, do wrong. He was waiting to punish me. I was very scared. I was pretty young when I went to college. I was actually 17 when I went off to college. And I went to a Christian college. I began to explore a very, very different version of God. It wasn't you didn't say your prayers tonight, and so you're going to be punished for that. But it was come to me, daughter. It's okay that you didn't finish your prayers tonight, because I already know. I already hear you. I got you. You know, I'm holding you close. You know, and I think that's what God wants for us, is to be reminded that he's the Father, and that he wants us to bring ourselves to him. He wants us to let go so he can pick us up. He wants to be our comfort. He doesn't want us to be scared or fearful, because why then would he have even made us? You know, if we're made in his image and if we are a part of him, then he loves us. And I really believe that.
Amen. Good morning. Good to see you this morning. And I'm so glad that you're here today to not only worship, but to hopefully hear from the Lord in the next few minutes of his word. And that's where we're going to spend our time. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you're just getting familiar with your Bible, it's near the back end at the far right. You are going to be offered a Bible in just a moment as soon as the ushers get up here. And then if you just want to get their attention, they'll be glad to put one in your hand this morning, okay? You know, some of you might be caught off guard. We're a little earlier. Maybe you didn't hear this at the front end, but today we've kind of designed things to have an extended time of worship at the end of the service, and also to make available an opportunity to be baptized today if you've never followed the Lord in baptism. We've got an open opportunity. Our pastors are going to be back there. They're all ready to go. If you're nervous about it, you know that this is something you've been kind of thinking about or whatever, but you're kind of nervous about that, know that we've got robes available for you that you can change into. We've got good towels that'll dry you off, and even hair dryers, okay? So you don't have to worry about the aftermath. But yeah, and the water's warm, yeah that's important too. But it's an important step, and I can't emphasize it enough. If you've trusted the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, the next step that he asks is that you outwardly declare that through baptism. We've been talking about our identity in Christ, and there's nothing more clear that represents that than even going through what he's prescribed as baptism. Literally, it means that we go down and we're buried with him in the water that we have. That's the idea, that you're buried with him. Your old life is kind of buried with him in the baptism, and the new life that's risen comes up, and it represents our new identity that we have been talking about, and we're going to talk about again today. So if that's something that you would like to do, I'm going to give you an opportunity near the end of the message, and you're just going to go join us over here, and we're going to celebrate and worship the Lord. And we had several in the last service, and it was pretty exciting. So think about that as we go forward. One other thing I wanted you to just be aware of, you know, we're in a time of year, it's hard to believe it's Thanksgiving, isn't it? And you know as well as I do, the gun kind of goes off. And like Damien was talking about, the pace is going to get hectic and all that. But one thing I just want to prompt you to pay attention are the opportunities that God gives you and me to be his light and to be his blessing to those around us. Our discipleship team, Pastor Scott and the community pastors and all the guys, as they've just been kind of seeking the Lord and the heart of the Lord, they've kind of adopted a theme over the next several weeks that just simply says, love shows up. Love shows up. When somebody's hurting, and you know that they're hurting, love shows up. When you know that there's a need and maybe they're close by you or in proximity or within your influence and you can meet that need, love shows up. Maybe somebody needs prayer. Maybe they're going through difficult health concerns or whatever, and they need to just step into that with an encouraging word and even a prayer. Love shows up. And so you're going to be hearing this in your group life and some of you that are leaders, but this is kind of a theme we want to adopt. And one thing has come to my attention is our intention to a year or two ago to kind of decentralize some of our caring ministries. It used to be we'd do one big event. Some of you would volunteer with that, and we'd all celebrate, you know, what God was doing. We intentionally wanted to decentralize this so that it was more at the grassroots within our group life, so that rather one place, like this place, being that location, now we've got 50 or 60 or 80 locations where things are happening in neighborhoods and in through the natural relationships that you have. That was our intention. The thing that's come to my attention is that we don't communicate what's going on out there very well. And there are a lot of amazing things happening as a result of your work in the lives of other people. So I just want to say, be alert, be aware. You know, I'm proud of you because I know so many of you are willing to serve in that way and put yourself, you know, kind of in the Lord's hand to be used. Like last week, Pastor Greg said to me yesterday, we asked for some volunteers to take home sailors for Thanksgiving. He said, we have more volunteers than we had sailors to take home for Thanksgiving. And I think that's a good problem to have, you know what I mean? And he said, hey, we might try it again for Christmas, you know, if we're around that period of time. Many of you brought in your shoe boxes this morning, the Samaritan Purse Christmas Child shoe boxes. These aren't just gifts you're going to make some kid happy, you know, as a result of Christmas. There's a gospel presentation. There's discipleship process. They're all done within the context of a local church and relationship. So these kids are going to be followed up on. And you can even follow up on the box of who gets your box and have an ongoing relationship that is there. So this isn't something you just are going to drop off today and forget about. This is something that could be ongoing for prayer and even encouragement for those who will receive that. So we've got Thanksgiving baskets going out to families this week. All kinds of stuff is going on. And we just want to be alert as a church family of what God is doing. So today, if you were here last week, you know that I kind of last minute decided to split the message in two. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. There were five characteristics of what Peter describes of who we are now as we're walking in Jesus Christ. We've trusted him as our Lord. His spirit is now within us. But now we want to live out of that identification of who Christ is in us. And I want to read the passage once again, and we're going to pick up from what we started last week. So if you're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 9, okay? This is what the Apostle Peter says. But you, that's you, are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray and just ask the Lord's help this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word that's found in its pages. I thank you for the amazing transformation that happens when we apply that word to our lives. And I know, Father, that there's an adversary that is going to try to undo everything that you try to work within us. And we pray against that this morning. I pray, Lord, that light bulbs will go off, that new thoughts and new understandings of who we are as sons and daughters of the living God might come to our awareness. And that it'll be something that literally will change us. So we commit this time. Pray, Lord, for your help as we walk through these thoughts, and we trust you for this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Got some notes on your way in. You got the same notes last week, so they might be a duplicate. The difference is the answer is in the first two points. We're going to pick up point number three, okay? And just as a review, last week we were reminded from verse 9 that we are a chosen race. You are chosen of God, and the point we made is you're acceptable to him. You have been accepted, completely accepted by the God of the universe. But you're not just accepted. The second thing we learned last week is you are valuable to him. It's one thing to just get by. It's another thing to say, you are extremely valuable to me. That passage there in Deuteronomy we read, you can see it, where he says, you're my treasured possession. Think about that. You are my treasured possession. And that's how God feels about you. And as we pick up from there, the third truth is that we want to declare based on this passage is that you are eternally loved by God. I was looking at verse 10, and here's the words of that Peter says. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Just stop right there. There was a time when every one of us in this room were separated from God. The reason I can say that is because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking, oh, I've always been a Christian. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home and that's all you've ever known, but we're not born that way. We are born in this separated state from God. And that is what he's describing here. Once you were not a people, you are not part of God's eternal family. But he said, now in Christ Jesus, you are part of my family. You are my people. I've adopted you. I've adopted you into my family. And as I think about this in this particular week, I have to share with you, church, that this week really has been a week like no other, at least in my recent memory. It's been one of the most taxing, most intense weeks that I've experienced in a long, long, long time. I mentioned last week that I was planning on going down to visit my two brothers. And if you haven't been here, one of my brothers, the one closest to me, I've got four siblings, one closest to me is in advanced stages of cancer. This most likely would be my last visit with him. And I knew that going in. My oldest brother, 15 years older than me, had a very serious accident about 2 months ago. He was in intensive care, had multiple surgeries for about 30 days. They moved him over to transitional care. Is not able to put any weight on his feet because of his broken hip, broken pelvis, all these things. And it just happened that when I arrived on Monday morning, I left very early, that my brother, my oldest brother, was being transitioned from that care facility to his home. Under the rules and all the things that were going on, they said he couldn't stay in that facility because he had gotten as far as he could do as far as the physical therapy, and now he'd have to go home. And when I just found that out just days before I left, my sister had mentioned it to me, and so we're trying to scramble to find what's going to happen when he gets home. He hasn't been in his home for 60 days. His wife is incapacitated, in fact, just days away from moving to hospice. She doesn't speak. She's not. She's just kind of incapacitated. So she hasn't been there for a couple of years, and so he's going back to this home, and I, all kinds of stuff swirling around, and it just happened. I'm the one that steps in and is going to guide this transition, making decisions and getting care for him. We thought 8 hours, 12 hours would be sufficient. A couple of days after, I was called and said he needs 24-hour care. So it was just being immersed into a setting that I have not been in. I'm just giving you a window into my life. I left home when I was 17 years old, and never have moved back to that area. Always, it's been a distance. I've called to get updates, love my family, love my siblings, but I've always been distant. And now I found myself immersed into family. On Monday afternoon, my sister had set up a meeting for the potential caregivers. And as I looked around the room, here was a niece that I haven't seen in 15 years. Here is an ex-brother-in-law that I haven't seen in probably over 20 years. And I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but the way God kind of orchestrated things, I know many of you were praying. And I mean, this was a real mountain to climb. And what happened was my brother-in-law, this ex-brother-in-law, was in an accident 20 years ago and was paralyzed. He's been confined to a wheelchair ever since. And the gal who was his caregiver that soon became his wife has been doing this, and her family, her kind of extended family, does this and made themselves available to take care and to step into the situation. I mean, it was just one thing after the other. And I was there for 2 days. I came back Wednesday. And so I came back with this just tremendous sense of responsibility that I just have not been acclimated to or accustomed to for a while. Why am I sharing this with you today? Not just to give you an update, but to let you know that I have a whole new keen sense of what it means to be family. There's something about family that transcends any other relationship, doesn't it? And there's some things that you do because you're family. It's not convenient. It's not something enjoyable necessarily. It is just flat hard. And I want some of you guys in this room to know I have a new empathy and appreciation for those of you that are walking through parents maybe that you're having to transition, other loved ones that you're working with and have had to work with that are just flat out difficult. But you do it because you're family, right? You do it. And there's a love that encompasses that I just think we have to have an understanding that's how God loves us as family. We are His people. We are His family. And I don't know what will transpire, you know, at this point. I was thinking about that song. I don't know if some of you remember that song. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Remember that? Well, he's heavy, man. He is heavy. And there's a lot of other details, you know, that are going into this. But he's my brother. He's my brother. And I love him. And we're family. Listen to what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says that he who sanctified you, he who made you holy, in other words, and you who are being made holy, have the same Father. Do you know what that means? That means, and maybe you knew this, but you and Jesus are brothers. We have the same Father. We are brothers and sisters when we are in Christ. And that's what he's describing. That's where this love comes from. That's where this love is generated. And the nature of that very love, that's where it comes from. Point that I wanted to make simply is this. You may know this, but God is the one who is love. That's why this is so true. God is love. It's not that he has love or he gives love. He is love. Scripture so much says that. And if we could just grasp in our identity that we are loved by God, a couple of characteristics need to really be impressed upon us about that love. One is that love is unconditional. Now, that's one of those things it's hard to kind of comprehend, an unconditional love. You know why? Because very few of us have ever experienced unconditional love. Usually it comes with a if you or because you, but that's not the way God's love works. It's unconditional. The other thing about it is, it's everlasting. We can say that on the authority of what the Bible says. Notice he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31 describes. He is love. God is love. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And so, you know, as we recount, who are we? Lord, who have you made us to be? Who are we in Christ? We're accepted by you. We're extremely valuable to you. But now we confirm we are loved by God with an everlasting love. We're part of your family. We are your people. And your love is going to stick with us. It's going to stay with us regardless of what happens. We're family. And I hope that's something that we can really take in, really absorb. Here's the second thing I wanted us to see from this passage. Verse 10, he goes on, he says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You're in Christ. You've trusted him. You're walking with the Spirit inside of you. What does that mean? It means that you are totally forgiven from God. Totally forgiven by God. And I look at that passage. Notice it, look at it once again. You once at a time did not receive this mercy of God, but now you have received his mercy. Mercy is an interesting word. A lot of times we'll use the word mercy and grace interchangeably. Those are two common words. We think they're synonymous. There's a distinction. Here's how I point it out. You've heard of this before, but mercy is not getting something you deserve. In other words, punishment, okay? We deserve. Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's our position. And the Bible also says in Romans, the wages of that sin is what? It's death, meaning separation from God. That's the consequence. Okay, that's what we deserve, is this separation or death. We've broken that relationship. So to get mercy means you're getting something, or you're not getting something that you deserve. That's the mercy he's describing here. Grace, on the other hand, is getting something you don't deserve. You see the difference? Grace is a gift of God. Grace is something you can't work for, you can't earn, nothing. You're not going to be good enough. You don't have to clean up your act before you come. It's just God saying, listen, I want to give this to you as a gift if you'll just receive it. That's all you got to do, is just receive that gift. And so this forgiveness of God is something we didn't have at one point, but now you are totally forgiven. Let that absorb just a moment. You're totally forgiven. How can that be, you're thinking? Wait a minute. You want to know why you have such a hard time with that? It's because probably it's rare that you ever show anybody else total forgiveness. You're honest with yourself. It's really hard to totally forgive somebody. I know for me, I might say I forgave them, but what I've actually done is deferred. I've deferred. You know what that means? I've kind of kicked the can down the field, you know, like, okay, I'm going to say it, but I'm going to kind of hang on to it over here, just in case. It's kind of like when I got a ticket in the city of Linwood. We won't go there. But I'm the kind of guy that if I get a ticket, I'm going to go show up before the judge. I want to have my day in court. I want to tell him what happened. And there's always something that happened, right? There's always some excuse, and I want to say it. So I go before the judge, and thankfully this judge said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that, and I'm going to defer this ticket so that, you know, don't do it again. But if you do this again, this ticket that I've kind of put up here on the shelf, I'm going to bring it back down, and you're not going to only have the consequence of this one, but you're going to have the consequence of this one as well. Do you understand what I'm talking about, right? Okay. God doesn't do that. Just for your information, that isn't how God works. He totally forgives. He totally eliminates it. How do I know that? Well, look at what the scripture says. God's very nature is to forgive. And so he says, I am he. I'm reading from Isaiah 43. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. This is one of the hardest things for us to comprehend about the forgiveness of God, because we don't do that. That isn't how we operate. That's why over in Corinthians it says love, and it goes down through the list of qualities, love keeps no record of wrongs. And if you just even take an inventory of your relationships today and how many relationships that got sideways or whatever, and you're just kind of deferring your judgment, to say, boy, if they do this again, man, I'm going to pull it off the shelf and it's going to all come flooding back. God doesn't do that because it says he blots them out. It's like the east is from the west. He can't remember them. How can God of the universe not remember? I don't know. I wish I could explain that to you better. I don't understand how that can work because he knows everything, right? All I know is that's what he says, who you are. You are totally forgiven. He knows everything wrong, the worst things you've ever done back here, but he also knows you because he's God. He knows everything ahead that you'll ever do and the worst things you'll do ahead of you that are wrong. And because he can see the whole thing and he says, I've forgiven you, that's what total forgiveness means. Isn't that good news? I mean, are you understanding this? Are you believing this? Really? Some of you walked in this morning, and if I was going to dig down your identity, today your identity has to do with, wow, I am not worthy. I am ashamed of what I've done or who I've been. I'm not worthy. I'm this, I'm that. Maybe you've been told that for your life, and it's hard for you to comprehend that your Father now, your Heavenly Father, loves you and has totally forgiven you. He's blotted it all out, and He remembers it no more. That's good news. And the reason he does that is because it's in His very nature to forgive. And that's the passage I just read. But here's the second thing. The reason that's possible is because Jesus Christ has paid my penalty and your penalty for the sins that we have committed. Jesus Christ is the one who made this possible. Ephesians 1 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." That's what happened. That's who we are. We are forgiven because Jesus Christ. And if you don't quite understand this morning, of how this all works, remember I said a few minutes ago what the Scripture says, we were all sinners, we've all been born into sin. The results of that, or the penalty of that, is death. We're separated. What are we going to do about that? What can we do? A lot of folks try all kinds of things to repair that. They try to be good enough. They try to, serve. They think that somehow, because parents or grandparents were Christian, that somehow it passes down to them. Or any number of things. If I just come to church, if I go to church, then God will accept. None of that matters. Because none of that can repair the brokenness. The only thing that can repair that is that somebody who never committed sin suffers a penalty on our behalf. That's the only person that could ever do it. That's why no other religious leader is efficient. They're not sufficient. They can't do it because they were sinners just like we are. There's only been one person that walked this earth since Adam who was without sin, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's why He's the only satisfactory sacrifice for our sins. Amen? That's the truth. That is the truth. He paid it. We're forgiven. When we put our trust in Him, a few minutes if we celebrate baptism this morning, every time we do, we're just reminded that's what this outward declaration is. Simply, I've put my trust in Jesus and what He has done, not what I could do, but what He has done. And I just want to go on record to say, this is who I am now. That's my identity, is with Him. I am totally forgiven. Can I share the last one with you? He goes on in verse 9. Now go back up to verse 9. I save this for last because I think this is one of the things that we don't talk enough about. And it might catch you off guard a little bit. Verse 9 says, you are a chosen race. But then he goes on and says, a royal priesthood. Are you like me and you kind of want to just skip that? You want to just go right over that? Because we don't quite understand what that means. Do you know that part of your identity is as a priest of God? Some of you are here this morning and you're working out of an understanding of Catholicism, right? Either you were part of it, or you were near it, or you've seen it. And when you think of a priest, you're probably envisioning a mental image of a Catholic priest. And you kind of roughly know how it works there. You know that you go to a confession, you get in a little box, and you talk to somebody behind the screen, and it's supposed to be the priest, right? And you share your things, and now you're ready to go through Mass, and that's their system. I really don't want to disparage this or to sound derogatory, even though, friends, the whole premise of that is non-effective. You know why? Because the Bible says you are priests. Do you believe that? You're saying, well, okay, Pastor, what does it really mean to be a priest? Can I give you the two things that priests do? One is a priest represents man before God. Okay? They represent man before God. We have a word for that. It's called intercession. You ever heard that word? It means what you do when you pray. When you have a person you love or you care about or their need has come to your attention, some of you just instinctively begin to take that to the Father, don't you, on their behalf. He says, you have not because you ask not. Ask and it will be given to you. God has given us a free open door, a green light to come to him in intercession. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Romans describes, he says, sometimes it's like we're groaning on the inside. We don't even know how to express the words, but the Spirit knows what we're saying, and he is being represented before God. That's being a priest, representing man before God. But the other side is, you also have a role of representing God toward man. And this is the last point I want to make to you, friends. You are fully capable of doing this. Both sides. You are a priest of God. You are a royal priesthood. And not only can you represent man before the Lord and what their needs and everything are as that mediary, you take them to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, okay? You're a priest, but he's a high priest. He's the one that gives us the rights and the access to the Holy of Holies by his blood. That's how it works. But now you represent God to men. You want to know what that looks like? Here's one of the best scriptures, I think, that will clarify that for you. Look at Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Listen to what he says. Here's what we do. We do this to open their eyes so that they might turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. There's a world we live in, and there's the prince of this world. And in many, many corners, he's having his way. And when you go from here, it's not so much in this place, although I know he tries to do his number here, but you go out into a darkened world, now you are the light of Christ. You are the priest of God, representing God in the midst of that darkness. And that's exactly what he says. He says that they might receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Let's swing back over to 1 Peter again once more. This is what Peter was saying. When you are a priesthood, you're a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Listen to this. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's our calling. That's who we are. That's our identity. We are accepted by God. We're extremely valuable to him. We are his treasured possession. You're loved by God with an everlasting love, unconditionally. He loves you like family. You are his family. You're his people. He's totally forgiven you. He's blotted out your sins. Doesn't even remember them. Hard to imagine, I know, but let it sink in. That's who you are, and you are fully capable. Why? Here's why. Because Christ lives inside of you. It is not you who's doing this. This isn't your own efforts or energies, okay? This is Jesus inside of you. And that's why Paul said in those words, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. And I'm excited today. That we have the chance to celebrate that. I don't know how that touches you. I don't know what this means and which one of these areas in particular seem to kind of rise out and that we need to apply. But I want to close with a prayer. I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. And let me just start this time of response. This is kind of a unique weekend because we've been dealing with this for several weeks, right? And we've been just kind of hearing over and over, this is who I am. You know, we went all the way back to Moses, and he had to struggle with being identified with the people of God, the Hebrew people, the slaves, when he had all these rights and privileges. But today, this is just scratching the surface. But know that you are loved by him, forgiven by him, if you are in Christ Jesus. You know, in a moment, We're going to have baptism. In fact, if you know right now, if you came in and were preparing for this, you can go ahead and stand up. And Pastor Paul, he's going to work his way right over here. He'll kind of walk you through that. Just feel free. I hope you won't feel embarrassed or anything like that. This is a huge step, and we're going to celebrate with you in just a moment. So now be a good time to make your way over to Pastor Paul. But maybe there's somebody in the room today that hasn't taken that first step. Maybe this is unclear to you, or just you haven't had that confidence. Today I want you to know that here's what the Scripture says. If you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and rose from the grave, you will be saved. When Peter was asked by the people, "What must we do to be saved?" he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." That's what we're doing here today. It's a great time of celebration. And that's all we'll do is we'll ask you, you know, have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you said that? Do you trust Him as your Lord and your Savior? Intend to live for Him now for the rest of your life. So why don't we stand together, and could we commit these things to the Lord in prayer? Damien's going to come in a moment and lead us in some songs. We've tried to reserve a little extra time this morning just for time of worship. If you, again, if God's kind of tugging at your heart, listen to the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Lord. I don't like to be manipulative. That's not my style. You know that. But if I can exhort you, if I could push you, because this is a huge step. If you've not been baptized, you know you've not been baptized by immersion as we do here as an outward evidence, today would be a great day to do that. There's no reason. We got everything prepared for you, all right? Just slip out, go over there, and we'll hang out as long as we need to today, all right? Let's pray. Father, as we recognize you are right here in this room, your word says where two or three are gathered, there you are. And I know you're taking your words and you're applying them to our lives. A lot of things we've shared, not just today, but over the past weeks, about trying to get some clarity on who we really are as sons and daughters of the living God. I have to confess, Lord, sometimes it is really, really hard to comprehend all that that means. I know there's an enemy that's trying to undo this work. He's trying to convince us of all kinds of lies and things otherwise. And I just pray in Jesus' name that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. He is more powerful. He is the victor. And today we want to say in our heart of hearts that we confess Jesus as our Lord. Jesus is our Savior. God, if there's a person in the room right now as we're praying and that they're uncertain about this, that they just don't have that confidence that they know that they've walked through what you've prescribed for them. If that's in any way where you're at, if that resonates with you, maybe in your heart of hearts, just as we're quietly bowing before the Lord, in your heart, you may want to just say these words to Him and just confirm it. Lord Jesus, today I want to trust you as my Savior. I believe in you. I believe that you lived a sinless life, that you died on the cross, and I believe that you rose from the grave, and now you are at the right hand of the Father. I also believe, Jesus, that you have invited me to be part of your family, and so today I invite you to come into my life, my heart, and to make it your home forever. Help me to live in a way that pleases you from now on. I know I'm going to make mistakes. I know I'm going to fail at times. But today I'm trusting you as my Lord and my Savior. And I pray this today in Jesus' name. Father, I just know the great and awesome transformation that is ahead for those folks that have prayed that prayer this morning. But I also know there's challenges. And we pray, God, you'll give them the assurance and then the days and the weeks ahead that they'll know that they're a child of God. And we just trust you for all of this today. We thank you for our identity and who we are. Help us not to forget it, that we're accepted. We are accepted by you that we are your treasured possession. We're valuable to you. We're loved and forgiven. And you've given us the capacity for whatever you call us to carry it out. So we love you, Lord, today, and thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let's sing together. And I'm going to be standing over here, and we'll just see what God does. If God's prompting you, don't hesitate. Come and join us, all right? And we'll celebrate with you your baptism.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Together this morning. Worthy of every song we could ever see. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Yeah.
Let's sing this out as we know that it is our great God that even in the midst of circumstances can speak to our soul where we can say, it is well.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. And the seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me. Far be it for me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me, it will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
That's the God we serve.
And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well.
Sing it out, church.
And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well. Yeah.
And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Amen. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me.
What a blessing that we got to share in that. Amen. Church, this is what simple faith looks like and simple obedience looks like. When we just come before the Lord and say yes. How beautiful was that? I want you to know, if this Holy Spirit is working on you, don't fight him. You're going to lose, okay? You're just going to lose. Next week, come on back. Water will still be warm. We'll be here. We can do this, all right? God bless you. We look forward to seeing you next week. Take care.
There were walls between us, by the cross.